Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And our location, we actually have three locations. We're located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94. Between Highway 164 and Highway F, we're in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the village of Whitefish Bay, just kitty corner from Winkies. And we have the opportunity to service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. If you would like to put a face with a voice, you can go to ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Dave Melinda, and he is the founder of Positive Polarity, a coaching and training company that's dedicated to helping business owners and teams break free from the status quo and unlock meaningful growth. Doesn't that sound wonderful? If somebody can do that for you. And the truth of it is that Dave has done several different group settings with us, little seminars when we've had our meetings. And it really has been a great opportunity for us to develop our culture and for us to sort of be on the same page. And I thought with the new year coming and we're all making these New Year's resolutions of how we're going to be the best that we can be.
Yes.
It would be absolutely wonderful to invite Dave to come in and just share with you, share on the radio here, some of the things that you can think of, not only individually, but that you can think of in terms of your business, your teams. It always starts at the top, of course, but there's lots of different tops in an organization. So they tell me that I'm at the top of this one.
Congratulations.
But also Julie's at the top as the president. And then we have our teams. And so they all have to work together.
Absolutely.
And we all have to walk that talk. And so, Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So talk a little bit about how you helped Julie and I sit down and take the values that were important to us.
Sure.
And the values that we live. And one of the things that I've discovered is what you do in one place of your life, you do in another. So mm-hmm. one of the things is our values. We hope that the values that we can model in our company not only help us, but also help our employees to take them not only from our business, but to their homes and sure. to the community.
Sure, absolutely. I think a lot of people, when it comes to culture, they think that they either have it or they don't. Everybody's got culture. So it's just a matter of what is your culture. And if you're unsure, you can ask your company, you can ask your team, you can ask your employees, and you can ask your customers if you really want to get a brutal look. But
some people just don't want to know.
Right, exactly. Well, and this is where I think this is why, like, you guys ask for my help is sometimes leaders realize they have blind spots. What am I missing? What don't I see? It could be simple. A lot of people think that they're doing a great job with their culture and they don't bother asking anybody. They don't bother checking in, and they just make an assumption that, hey, no news is good news. And that's really not a solid way to have that. So I think company values, we have to be intentional on actually trying to make sure that those are what we live. Because again, it can be easy to put it on the wall, right? I mean, everybody knows Nike's three words, just do it. Those are really, that's their company value. I struggle when I come into an organization and see like two, three, four paragraphs of values, and And I asked people, what are your values? And they're like, I don't know. You know, so if you're going to do values, if you're going to create that, you need to make sure and make it simple so that the whole team is able to, you know, effectively know what they are. And that's what's awesome about working with you guys is everybody has an understanding of what Ellen Becker means. Whether you come in here, there's a different feel. I mean, I go all over the country and run into these places, and there's some bad places. You know, people say one thing but do another. There's no trust. The customer's not put first. I mean, from the moment I walk in here, you just treat people differently. So you live what it is that you are, you know, telling other people. And I think that's a huge, you know, important step is make sure you are living what your company values, what you're telling people.
You know, thank you, David. That really means a lot to me. Because this is my baby.
Right.
And the baby's 30 years old.
Absolutely.
This year.
And, yes.
And
congratulations.
I think about, we're not afraid to ask for help.
Correct.
We're not afraid. And I'm thinking of this example. You'll have to tell me if it's an accurate example, but it's what came to my brain
sure. When
you were talking. So when the market corrects, and we know that the market's going to correct, it's been as high as it can be. And of course, I'm going to say that we are always strategizing as to how to protect our clients in the market when it's falling, but also when it's accelerating,
sure. You
know, and helping them to understand. But one of the things that I always appreciate when the market goes down is because that's when we're the busiest. That's when we get the most new clients.
Sure.
And the reason for that is that not necessarily that the other advisors or brokers are doing something wrong, because most often those clients come to us or potential clients come to us, they just didn't know.
Right.
When the market is what's happening.
Right.
And so everyone out there talks about, I'm about relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm about relationships.
Sure.
But when the rubber hits the road
right. And
the market's declining, nobody calls their clients.
Right, exactly.
And they come to us because we listen and because we hear what their concerns are. But I think that is a good example, because there is a thing where everybody thinks they're doing relationships, but the relationship that matters most is when things are hard.
Right. Yep.
And working with those clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be a partnership that you have with your clients. And if you look up the word partnership and get a true definition, it means that we're together in the good as well as the bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're talking about, is when the market's high, everybody's talking and life is good, right?
Right.
But yet when it goes down, then it's like crickets are, you know, silence is usually not a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, again, depending on how skilled you are in the market, no news is not necessarily good news.
And people just want to be heard. They just want to have an explanation. And so we know that the market's going to correct, and both for the advisors out there, talk to your clients.
Yeah, right.
Because otherwise they'll come to us.
Right, exactly.
And I also want to say for individuals, you know, one of our signs that we put up on our billboards is, before we invest, we listen. And I say that because I want people to think, do you listen? Does your attorney listen? Does
sure.
You know, it's a broader message than just that. But I think that that's really important. And that's one of those values that just comes from the top down.
Right. Exactly. If listening is one of your company values, just remember there's a difference between listening and hearing, because listening is intentional. Hearing is a biological function. So if I struggle when I talk to people and, you know, they're already formulating their next spot in their head, they're not really listening. They're kind of thinking about how they're going to answer you. So again, if you are going to be creating listening as a company value, you have to do it the right way, because people can tell when you're not listening.
Absolutely.
Interrupting people, not letting them finish their thoughts. I mean, those are scary spots to be. But let's face it, that's happening. We're consumers too, right? So we also go and shop, and we find out that there's plenty of people that don't listen. And so, again, listening is so important. And it's just one of those things. When's the last time you had a listening skills learning unit?
Right.
We just make the assumption that we know how to listen. And we do a lot of listening skills training on our end because of that fact. Because if you can't hear your customer, if you really aren't listening, then what is driving your business.
Well, I think your statement in the very beginning about individuals who you can go and ask your clients. However, a lot of people don't want to because they don't want to hear it.
Yep.
That's a red flag right there.
Correct. Yep. Or they think, oh, they're just going to whine and complain. You know, there's this preset notion, right? I think the best place you can go is ask your customer what's working, what's not working, and start with a blank sheet of paper and really listen. But again, like I said before, Karen, a lot of people will have a defense mechanism. So you tell me I'm not doing something very good. My initial reaction isn't, oh, thanks for sharing that. It's like, I don't do that. And that's where the blind spots come in. And that's where, you know, deflection comes in. So if your company values are not, you know, being listened to, being met, if nothing's happening there, this is great because today, this year, 2026, is a great time to start that. You know, don't wait.
Let's talk about values. Do values change over time? How do people sit down and start to create their values? And I know one of the things that we did was Julie and I sat down and created a list of our values. And then we asked our employees to create a list of values.
Absolutely.
Remember that?
Yep.
And they came back and then we started to tweak them.
Right. Exactly.
And when we hire someone, we spend a lot of time talking about values.
Right, exactly.
And if something isn't working out, we talk about values.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing that's unique about this is every person has a value that's different. So if I come and join your team and my values don't align with yours for whatever reason, what do we do? I mean, there's a choice of either having that individual team member realign their values. Maybe they're not a right fit. That's what I love about you guys doing that up front, because why wait 6 months or a year into somebody's employment to find out that, wow, our values don't align. And we really need to make sure that they do align early on, because that's where the engagement is. And disengaged employees generally are not aligning with company values.
My guest today is Dave Molenda, and he is a communicator, a keynote speaker, a trainer, and he's an award-winning author, podcaster, and a great guy to work with. As I said earlier, Dave has come in and it two or three times he's talking to our group, both either to the leaders, the foundation, and also our teams, because it's so important to give the message out to your teams that you want them to grow, you want them to be better. And that's the thing I think that stops a lot of people is they're almost afraid to look at who they are, what they are, what they might do better.
Right.
Because we're all so busy.
Yep.
And it's like, add one more thing to my plate.
Right.
I have to tell you, we've got employees that are here for such a long time. We
sure.
don't have the turnover issues,
yeah. yep.
but we work together. And it does take some, it takes work, it takes thought, it takes education to figure it out because everything in the world is moving so fast. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that leadership role and how you can build your culture and how you can design really what you want it to look like. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest is Dave Molenda, and Dave is actually a friend. And the reason for that is he has helped us grow our business. And one of the things that's really important, I think, as we're talking about the year end and how you want to approach things, is to surround yourself with people that really know what they're talking about, but also want to invest in your business. They get to know you, they know who you are, and they're going to help you grow that business. And one of the most important ways to grow your business, of course, is within your company, not just thinking about outside your company, but to grow within. And how do you harvest that type of connection that you have with your employees? And so I had mentioned we're going to talk about leadership roles, and I know that leadership starts at the top, and I'm blessed to have my daughter Julie and I because we're so well balanced mm-hmm. in how we look at our
sure.
business. But also, we've always hoped that all of our employees in their own lane would be leaders.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. I think we try to help people, regardless of where you are on the org chart, is to think like an owner. because when it's yours, like you mentioned before, this is your baby, your 30-year-old baby, you think about that different than if you were in a checkout line at Kohl's and you were just, you know, cashiering, and you think about things different. It's yours. It's there's that piece.
And nobody wants anyone to change their baby's clothes.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Never, never, never. But thinking like an owner kind of changes, it forces us to change our perspective. I mean, strong cultures don't just happen. It's that's one of the, I think, one of the big responsibilities of a leader is to drive that culture, even if you don't have one. And that's the funny thing, like we said it earlier, is some people say we don't have a culture here. And it's like everybody has a culture. It doesn't give you the option of not having it. So what is the leader's role is really to be intentional with that. Create once, like you guys did, when you created your company values, then you shared them with the group and got their feedback. And that was really valuable because if you're on a team and you have no say in where things go, a lot of times people start to feel hopeless. A lot of times people start to feel like this is just a job and it's easy for me to plug and play, get in and get out. And that's where we want people to think like owners. We want this to be a career. Like you said, there's a lot of people here that have been here for a long time. And it's because of the culture that you have. And so that's where you're blessed without having turnover. Not a lot of companies can say that. You know,
Julie and I were just talking the other day as the holidays are coming and, you know, we're looking at what we want to do for our employees for Christmas. That she said, you know, Mom, we've got everyone we want on our bus.
Sure. Yep.
We have everyone that we want on the bus. And let's talk a little bit about that. And I think one of the things that you were talking about just now also encompasses the word consistency. I think that employees like to know that there's consistency throughout the message, throughout what you're doing.
Correct.
And that they can depend on that, just like we want consistency in our lives.
Sure.
And how important is it to have everyone on the bus? And I know, and it when I started my company, I had very little money. I didn't always have the right people in place.
Sure.
And how important is that to have the right people in place and to make those decisions? And not only is that important for the company, but it's also important for the individual.
Right. Absolutely. And it's important for the customer because if there's constant change, number one, people struggle with constant change. And then when the team struggles with it, you know, part of the theme in my book was about a strong team creates a strong customer experience. Well, if the team isn't strong because it's constant change here, I mean, if we were constantly changing the name, our culture, we were constantly changing lanes, directions, all that, how we treat the customer, I'd show up every day not knowing how to do that. So if I'm struggling with it as someone on the team, it then creates a bad experience for the customer. So that's one of the things. I mean, again, coming here today, I'm greeted with a bottle of water and a famous Ellen Becker cookie. And it's like, you know what, we're just here hanging out, and you didn't have to do that. And it's just those small things that I think make a big difference. And that's the consistency. We all go to the same restaurant for that same, you know, experience, for that same tasting food. If it was different every time, we probably wouldn't have nearly the success of going every time. So I think that's the other part. You know what to expect when you show up here. You know you're going to get treated with respect. You know that you're going to get treated fairly. And that's, again, and you're going to see the same people that have been here year after year. So that consistency is definitely important.
And you also talk about the clarity and courage, the three C's. You know, that is so funny. When we were talking, I did actually look at this and I thought consistency, and that's absolutely true, clarity and the courage to grow.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, the whole idea of risk, if we just want to stay in the same place, we're going to be passed up.
Correct.
I mean, you've got to have courage to grow and the things that you're talking about right now to be that.
Right.
and be that consistent and be that person.
And we know that certain personalities struggle with courage. I mean, we'll talk about DISC in a little bit, but, you know, when you look at your personality, there are people that are risk averse. So maybe their financial portfolio is different because they're looking at something that they're okay with less return because they don't have the courage to do that. If you don't have the courage on your team to be consistent and to have clarity, maybe leadership isn't for you. Because again, if everybody is around you and they're afraid and they're fearful, it's hard to move forward when you don't have clarity, consistency, and courage on that team.
And you know what comes up for me when you're talking about not having those is demonstrating fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is just can disorient and can dissolve a company culture.
Absolutely.
So quickly.
Yeah, nobody trusts anybody. I mean, if I can't trust you, how in the world can I work with you? I'm constantly wondering, you know, is Karen going to set me up for failure? Is Karen going to throw me under the bus? Is Karen going to hang me out to dry? There's a lot of that. And that's where trust is foundational in trying to build a strong culture. So if people are listening today and they don't have a culture in writing, they don't have something that's actually, you know, clarified, use trust, but make sure you have it. Because if you don't have it, it takes a while to build it for sure.
I like what you say too, that leaders are mirrors of the culture, not just messengers. And so many years ago, I was talking to a really good friend of mine, and it was at that time when I was doing reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just want everyone to be extraordinary. I want everyone to be extraordinary.
Sure.
And he looked at me and he said, you can't ask people to be extraordinary.
Right?
He said, they have to be extraordinary and you get it as a gift.
Correct.
They have to want that for themselves. And so how do you build extraordinary employees? How do you mirror that culture so that so that your employees want to be extraordinary? They don't want to be average. They don't want to just show up.
Sure.
But they want to be extraordinary in your company.
Absolutely. And it starts the day that they are interviewing with you. I mean, it really does. And you find the right people and then you onboard them. I'm shocked, Karen, how few people have onboarding as part of their first 90 days of training. I mean, I've worked with companies that they say literally, you know, here's your hours, here's your office, here's the key, here's the restroom, here's your password to your computer. Let me know if you have any questions. And that was like, you know, 30 seconds of onboarding. People struggle with that like crazy, and they don't understand if you haven't told them what the culture is. I mean, you haven't explained to them what their position is. People need to know that we can't do this job without you. If they don't really feel that, then they're not going to share that with customers. They're really not going to exude that on the team. So
it's funny that you said that because we do have an onboarding, as you know.
Yeah.
And yesterday I met with one of our new employees, and I was gone much of October, and I have this open door policy, and we were just talking, and I said, "Do you have any questions for me?" And she said, why did you start this company?
Yeah.
And why have you enjoyed the company?
Sure.
And tell me a little bit about this. And it was about Pillows with Wings.
Yeah.
And we talked for like 15 minutes, and it wasn't about company stuff. It was more about who are you?
Sure.
Who am I working for?
Absolutely.
And when she walked out and she said, thank you. And I was like, it was a 15-minute conversation.
Sure.
And she's had an opportunity to meet with everyone in the company. And just for a few minutes, just a hi.
Sure.
But I felt good about it.
Right, exactly.
Just for her. It was also for me.
Absolutely. And that's the thing about it. Culture needs to be matching for everybody. If I'm not concerned, if my cultural idea is customers aren't first or trust isn't that important, we're going to have issues because you're going to be going down the road of customer first and I'm going to be going down the road of Dave first. Usually that doesn't end well. I've seen it, you know, where people just struggle because if I have to make a decision for myself versus a customer, I better make it, especially in the finance world, especially in the investment world, is it would be easy to sell expensive things or it'd be easy to sell high commission things for me, but that might not be the best thing for the customer.
Right.
And we have to be able to really put that aside and have this all about the customer.
which is why we're fiduciaries and fee-based.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense. My guest today is Dave Molenda, and he has a book called Growing on Purpose. I'll tell you what, the holidays are coming. It's a great book to give as a gift. If you got some kids that are in college, graduating, and they're kind of looking out, it helps them to understand what kind of company they want to work for. So it's a great Christmas gift. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about teams. I know that many businesses are, we're all unique, but in my business, I have my team, and I have four people on my team. And I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've helped us to do. Is sure. how do you coordinate that team? How do you everybody can't be a leader in there,
right?
But we want everybody to lead,
correct?
And so, how do you actually minimize conflict and maximize productivity,
sure,
and let everybody put their kisses on? I always call it, I want you to all put your kisses on our business, so that they do have ownership and they can see the benefit of who they are. With that, we'll take a break and we will be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Dave Molenda. Great book, Growing on Purpose. He is someone that I would recommend, because I've worked with Dave for quite a while now, that if we've at all tweaked a little thought or turned on a little red light, give Dave a call, and you could do that at 414-322-2358, or you can go to, he's on LinkedIn, David Molenda, or you can go to positivepolarity.com and reach out and just have a conversation. And Dave, we talked about team dynamics, and you know, at Ellenbecker, we function on teams.
Yes.
And so, and we have a marketing team, so how can you help my listeners understand the importance of that team and the team dynamics?
Sure, absolutely. I think the number one thing that a lot of leaders forget, or leaders of teams, is they forget that there's a multiple of personalities in one team. And how you treat one person and is different than how you treat somebody else. So we have to figure that out, and it's really hard to figure out just by yourself. So we use a tool called DISC, which is a personality assessment. It gives you the ideas on how this person thinks, how they operate. And it's crazy because...
Well, it helps you find their strengths.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Strength Finders is great too.
And the weaknesses,
yep.
It helps you so you know where to pour into.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, one of the pages on there tells you how to communicate with somebody. So we think about that, Karen, and if you're four people on your team, they all communicate different. How do you know how to communicate with each individual? Generally, it takes time, right? You just learn over time that, hey, don't talk to this person when they're stressed, or you have to be more visual with this person. There's all these different ways to communicate. And we make the assumption as leaders, because like you said before, we're so busy, we make the assumption, I'm going to run in, I'm going to do a drive-by, I'm going to dump a bunch of information on my team, and then I'm going to go on to my next exercise. Some people, that works really well, but there are plenty of people that are looking at this pile of paper that I just dropped off, and I'm happy because I checked that off my list. I'm super excited, but they're lost. They don't know what the expectations are. I didn't go through and do a good enough job explaining what the goals were. So they're looking at this piece of paper, chunk of paper, three-ring binder, whatever, and they're not sure what to do. And so if they're nervous, then they don't want to come to me. If I was in that spot and you were my leader and I was if I was intimidated by you, your name's on the... You know, your name's on the door. So I'm intimidated by you probably naturally. So I'm going to be like, I shouldn't bother Karen. I'm just going to try and do it myself. The problem is if you want it done one way and I do it another, we didn't have that communication. We didn't explain that. And that's, I think, what's important on the team dynamics is everybody's got a different view. Everybody has a different spot that they're coming from. They add value. Like you said, they all have strengths, and that's the best leader finds and accentuates the strengths of their team So many, the old word was boss. Remember back in the day where there was a guy in the corner, a girl in the corner office, and, you know, it was kind of like the 50s, you know, and this is what my brain thinks of, right? You know, and everybody was afraid of him. Everybody was intimidated by him. You didn't ask questions. You just did your best. Well, that's changed, fortunately. And like you mentioned, you have four people on your team. We need to understand how each one of them operates and how they communicate. And one of the great tools is using an assessment like that.
Well, that assessment has been really great. And when I started my business 30 years ago, it was myself, my daughter, and two other people. And I did all the hiring. And what became very clear to me was I was hiring people that were like me.
Right.
We really didn't need any more me's.
Yes, exactly.
I was quite enough, actually.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about just that first step
sure.
in hiring.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's such a great point that you bring up, Karen. I had that same... My journey was the same when I owned my last company. As I was in my mind, I'm secretly going, man, I wish there were more Daves on my team. Well, then one day when I started to get exposed to this, I said, well, play that out, you know, because I'm a really good idea creator. So if there were 10 Daves on the team and all 10
nothing
of us,
would get done.
We would, this room right here would, if we spent the day in here doing our brainstorming, there'd be post-it notes all over, right? So we'd all, at the end of the day, we'd all look at each other and we'd be like, oh my gosh, that was like the best session ever. We'd all look at each other and go, okay, what's next? Each one of them, because I'm not a good I'm great at the idea, but I'm not a good implementer.
Yeah.
So I would look at all of my 10 Daves and I'd be like, hey guys, who's going to do who's going to implement all this stuff? Everybody's looking around going, not me. And that's when I learned that, yeah, when you're building a team, you have to have what you're weak at, somebody else needs to be strong at.
Well, and in my team, I've got this amazing team, but we're an absolute great complement to each other.
Sure.
And the reason I'm saying that is we don't want everybody to be the same.
Yes.
And you have to really think about, because we have a lot of different clients. Some clients that are, give me just the information. I don't want to go through everything. Just tell me the bottom line.
Right.
And then we have other clients that want to spend just chit-chatting and talking. And you have to have different people
yep.
within your team responsive to the different issues that and sometimes, you know, people are calling us and they've had a tragedy in their family
sure.
or they've had something in their family, and being able to stop and to be able to listen and to know how to do that. It takes a lot of time. It takes training, explaining, and also letting people on your team be creative.
Sure. Yep.
And help you to grow that. I don't think it's never been good for me to walk in and say, here's how I want it done.
Right.
This is the way we've always done it. Here's
yep.
how I want
worst
it done.
Words you can say is that's how yeah. we do it around here. We've always done it that way.
Yeah.
And I think you bring up this differences thing, and I think it's so important to realize, like those two people, you have one person that can process information quickly, and then you have somebody else that needs time to process. Well, if you don't catch that, again, like I said before, if I just dump some information on somebody and they aren't able to ask questions, they're not able to process the information, those are really hard. That's a hard thing. And they go home every night and they're struggling and they're frustrated. And they're a lot of times they internalize this and they take it on and say, it must be me. Well, the reality is I liken these different personalities to like different languages. If I sat down with you and you asked me a question today, the first question you asked me and I answered it in a language you didn't understand, you'd be lost. We wouldn't be having this conversation. So we have to find in team dynamics, we have to find likenesses, or we have to be able to acclimate our way to someone else's.
That is such an interesting concept, being able to take a step back and not feel like you own the process.
Right.
It's my company.
Yep.
It's
absolutely.
My book of business.
Yep.
It's my team.
It's my customer.
My customer.
Yep. Don't touch.
Don't touch. And I learned one of the things that when I decided to step back a little bit, I realized and through working with you and looking at some of the different things that I had to let them have the successes. They were no longer my successes.
Sure. Yep.
And I think as a business owner who is looking at retiring or looking at growing their business, you can't own it all.
Yes.
I mean, you have to allow people to have those successes and put their growth upon it. And I think what we'll do is we'll take our next break and let's talk about sustainability. How do we sustain the culture? How do we keep it moving? Because the world is changing. I mean, I think about AI. I think about all the different things that are happening out there in the world. We have to be proactive, but we have to step back long enough to pause to see what the heck is going on out there. And with that, we'll take a break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Dave Molenda. He is, as I said earlier, a communicator. You can tell that just by the talking we're doing today. And I think you can note that we've built a friendship. He knows my business. And so when we're trying to make a shift, when we're trying to look at that sustainability over time, we could go and say, we're making this shift. How do we incorporate it into our own thinking, our team thinking, our company thinking? How will the impact be on clients? What might be the best way? Because, you know, we try to do everything behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And make it look seamless.
Sure,
and that's
yep.
really what we want to do. So how do we sustain that culture and keep that consistency there so that we don't have those hiccups?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's probably the hardest part of this. When people ask me to come and help them, I try to say, hey, this isn't a one-day thing because culture isn't created in a day and it's not destroyed in a day. If you want culture to sustain over time, it has to be top of mind for everybody. And that's where I have a buddy that owns they build tiny homes and they have their core tenets of faith. And he can walk through the plant and he can ask anybody, what are the tenets of our faith for this company? And if you can't answer, there's seven of them, you can't answer them, you need some work. So, you know, but that's where, again, us as leaders, as well as everybody on the whole team, hopefully is constantly keeping it top of mind. And whether it's in performance reviews, like you mentioned, you had those coming up, meetings, one-on-ones, anything, anytime there's dialogue between two people, our goal is to try to make sure that we are sustaining that culture.
You know, Dave, we talk a lot about health and what you need to do in order to be healthy. You've got to exercise. You've got to drink water. You've got to eliminate stress. There's all these things to be healthy. There's also a strategy to be healthy in your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as important as your own personal health. And in order to be personally healthy, you have to take time. You have to pause. You have to take time. And I think one of the things that I've learned in the business, and Julie is just an amazing leader, so much better than I am. I'm you. I'm the out here, the ideas, the all that. Julie is
yep.
the one that makes everything happen.
Yep.
And she sits down with every one of our employees on their birthday.
Okay.
And just ask them, how's it going? And
sure.
how does what you're doing at work complement what you're doing at home? And what's your personal goals as well as your business goals?
Sure.
And not necessarily how can we make them happen, but what are you doing to make them happen?
Sure. Yeah, that accountability
and
piece, I think it's important.
And she gets out of the office
yep.
and it's a half hour coffee or whatever. And she has found, we've talked about it a lot of times, and she said, Mom, I have to take the time. I'm so busy with clients, but those times with individual employees are so important. And there's a relationship, a connection that happens that says, I care about you. I care about you. Can you talk about that in terms of just business owners taking time for their own health, taking time for the health of their company, the health of their employees?
Yeah, for sure. And those two words, you just said two naughty words to a lot of people, pause and time. Because let's face it, a lot of us business owners, we don't feel like we have time. We're busy making payroll. We're busy with, you know, finding the next great team player. We're busy finding the next customer.
The next idea.
We have all these thoughts, which are great. We just need to really be more intentional with our team because they need our time. They need our praise. It's crazy because most of the things that you can really do on a day-to-day basis to create the winning culture in your business doesn't cost money. And the research, for instance, on recognition. I mean, and I found some stats where I thought were crazy, but if you're concerned about people working harder, you know, a lot of times we hear that the beatings will continue until morale improves type of thing, right? But the reality is 69% of employees say they would work harder if their efforts were better recognized. So if you think about that as an owner, if you want your people to work harder, recognize what they're doing. You don't have to pay them more necessarily. Maybe you do, but the first way to start this is, you know what? Start recognizing people. And I always tell people, if you're not recognizing your team every week, something's wrong. And I just, especially the stars on your team, just realize that if you're not recognizing them, someone else might be. Someone else might be your biggest competitor. And only 22% of employees say they get the right amount of recognition. So even if we think about sustaining the culture over time, one simple way is to just invest a minute a day, 2 minutes a day, whatever it is, in actually saying something good to somebody on your team.
Well, that just, I'm going to throw in my little 2 cents here because I've been, I look at the world is today. And I think, and I've sort of gone out there and posed a challenge to everyone. If you would just find one person in your life that you can pour into.
Sure.
One person out there that you can affect in a good way, make things better for them.
Sure.
And it might be a smile. It might be just what you're talking. Think about what our world would be.
Right.
And you know what? Here's the exact, you can do it right at the office, not just as the owner of the company, but as your team.
Sure.
Recognize someone in your office that's helping you, that's making your life better. Can you imagine how the world would be different just if we each took on one person that we could pour into?
Absolutely. And that's really, I think, the challenge that I would have for people listening right now is just to do that. Text somebody, leave them a voicemail, email, but do something for them in a way. And it's in the more specific that you can get. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, we appreciate all that you do here. That's great. It's way more successful. The research shows you're going to have a way more successful interaction if you get very specific and you do it just right after it happened. If we see something happening, it's great to stop that person right there and say, wow, that was great how you handled that with Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
You know, that's just so fulfilling for people. So again, if you're listening and you haven't really done a lot of work on your culture, a great place to start is purely to what Karen said, just catch them doing something right. Because so often we're, as bosses or leaders, we're kind of equated to cops where we're just sitting behind a bush with a radar gun waiting for someone to do something wrong, right? Let's get out in the open and let's actually catch them doing something right.
I think that'd be awesome. Look for what's right, not what's wrong.
Absolutely.
So we're coming to the end of the show in just a little bit here, and we're also coming to the end of the year. What are some of the things, Dave, that you could recommend for business owners, team members to take some first steps towards wanting things to be different and starting? I mean, it's that whole idea of just take that first step. And are there things, of course, first thing would be to read your book, and that's Growing on Purpose, the formula to strengthen your team and improve your customer experience, a positive polarity book. So I think that's a great Christmas gift. But, you know, I know your mission is to spread authenticity in the business community by empowering leaders and teams to connect, grow, and succeed.
Right.
It's that first step that's sometimes the hardest. What do you suggest?
Well, like you said, you started way back when, and you and your daughter sat down and you created a list of what you thought your core values would be. That's a great place to start. But I think what was unique about what you said was you didn't do it by yourself. Because if you're listening and you're a leader and you do it by yourself and you don't bring other people in, two things happen. Number one, less buy-in. You want buy-in from the team. You want them to buy into this. But also you want them to hold you accountable. If you would have created your own list of company values but kept them to yourself, you'd be the only one holding yourself accountable. That's why the gym is crowded like crazy in January 1st. And by the 22nd, 23rd of January, it's back to normal. Well, the people that hire a coach or find somebody to hold them accountable, workout partner, whatever you think, whatever you need, that's the challenge. Is it, you'll do a great job of starting the values, but then someone needs to help you hold that accountable.
And that's what you do.
That is. Doesn't have to be me. Maybe it's your, again, maybe it's someone on your team. Maybe you create a culture team. You can do it a variety of different ways. Maybe you have a mastermind group that you're part of. But the accountability, if you don't have it, and if you don't write it down, the research shows it just doesn't happen.
Well, they say too, like everybody always starts the new year and say, I'm going to go on a diet.
Yep.
And I read a statistic, one, if you write down the food you eat every day, you're more likely to understand where you're going astray.
Sure, yep.
But it takes too much time to write down everything you eat.
Right, exactly.
But, and then you forget.
But. And Oreos talk. They always have my name. They call my name, so I don't get that. But well, that's another show.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my guest today is Dave Belinda. Great book, Growing on Purpose. If you would like to give him a call, 414-322-2358. He's on LinkedIn, David Melinda. And David, thank you so much. And
absolutely.
It's going to be another great year.
Exactly.
Thank you. And, oh, I guess I've got to say my little thing too here. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and your financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.